The title for this conference is the Third Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they will receive what God has promised. Having experienced detachment and brokenness, the next step is meekness. Meekness is not weakness, even though at times the two of them may have the same appearance. Meekness actually requires great strength, since it means to have brought our will totally in tune with God's will, so that we respond instantly to every vibration of the Holy Spirit who dwells in the depths of our inner self. Meekness means to have sensitive ears and eyes and heart and mind, and clear eyes without blind spots, constantly open to God's inner voice, the creative voice of the Holy Spirit within us. To be meek, we must be able to distinguish this creative voice of eternity from the destructive voice of pride and selfishness and egocentricity. We must be without callousness and dullness, without inhibitions and repressions. It means sensitivity to God, to truth, to love, the love of God and love of neighbor. Sensitive and open to the needs of others. Meekness is the ability to identify our will with the will of God and also sensitive to the will of others. The willingness to sacrifice ourselves in order to enter into the life of God and the lives of others. An example of meekness would be that of two musical stringed instruments, for example, a piano and a violin. If they are exactly tuned to one another, exactly in the same tune, and if they are present in the same room, it is possible to strike any particular note on the piano, and without anyone touching the strings of the violin, they will pick up the vibrations of that particular musical note in the air and begin softly to resound the same sound that the piano does. If we would think of the piano as God's will, and the violin string as our will, this is what it means to be a meek person. Meekness is always a sign of brokenness. All who have been broken by God are characterized by meekness. It is therefore the opposite of obstinacy, of hardness, of sharpness. Some of the signs by which we can recognize a meek person would be the following. First of all, such a person is approachable, easy to talk to make contact with. Secondly, a meek person is highly sensitive and alert to others and to the environment and responds readily to their needs and their feelings. A meek person will not be inconsiderate nor hurt other people's feelings. A third quality of a meek person is the readiness to cooperate with others, the willingness to work in harmony with others. A meek person readily confesses one's sinfulness, one's limitations, one's mistakes. A meek person usually is able rather easily to shed tears, is easily edified by the good conduct of others, and is always open to receive help from others as well as give help. A meek person is a good listener, sincerely interested in others, rather than being critical and judgmental of their conduct. The prime example of meekness is that of God. Our God is a meek God who awaits our free will decision, who tries to conform His eternal plans to our will as far as that is possible, who adjusts His will to accord with our free decision, who continues to love us, forgive us, and help us despite our sins and our negligence of Him. Just to give two examples of the meekness of God, let us think about how we treat God in regards to prayer. We take it for granted that any moment or any hour of the day or night, we can begin to pray, and we know for sure that God is there waiting and available. God does not treat us as perhaps some professional person might, a doctor or dentist or lawyer, that gives us an appointment perhaps many weeks after we have made the initial contact. God is available to listen to us and respond to our needs and our prayers the very instant that we decide to enter into contact with Him. A second example of the meekness of God is that we can be certain that when God creates each one of us, that God has in mind certain missions, certain ministries, a certain plan for our life. Now, it is possible that a few of us are so open to God's will and have had such a good training and education from our parents and teachers that throughout our life we never resist the original plan that God has for us. We believe that this was true, certainly of course in the case of Jesus Christ, but also in the case of His mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. We have instances of saints like Saint Therese, the Little Flower, who stated that from the age of 3, she never remembers refusing God anything. But these examples of great sanctity are the exception. The likelihood is that all of us have failed to respond to God's original plan in our regard, not just once, but many times over. What does God do? God simply readjusts His plans to conform to the particular situation in which He finds us here and now. And God is willing to change His plans, to readjust them in our regard, not just once or occasionally, but over and over again, every day even, of our life. This is what we mean by the meekness of God. We also see this meekness in the life of Jesus. Jesus never forces His will on others, but waits patiently for their decision. He does not use violence, but he offers what God has given him, namely the kingdom, to those who are willing to receive it. We see the meekness of Jesus in a very special way during the Passion, when the Gospels tell us that he answered not a word. There is another example of a very meek person in the Old Testament, namely Moses. In the 9th chapter of Deuteronomy, the writer says that Moses was the meekest of men. An example of this meekness of Moses is seen in his relationship with the chosen people, the Israelites, during the 40 years that they wandered in the desert of Sinai. On one particular occasion, God became very angry with the Israelites. This was when they built the golden calf and were worshiping it. God said to Moses, "Step aside and let me go down and destroy these people, and I will raise up a new chosen people with you as the head." Moses stood up to God and said, "If you destroy these people, then strike my name from the book of life." This meekness of Moses was sufficient to turn away God's anger from the people. As we read in the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus, God relented and spared the people. We need much wisdom to know when to compromise in secondary matters in order to keep possession of the really important and primary matters. There are times when we need to compromise, to conform ourselves to others' wishes, but there are also times when we need to stand firm. This particular gift of meekness, which is indeed a grace from God for which we need to pray, will give us the wisdom to know when to be strong and to stand up for God's rights and for the rights of others, and when to be silent and to wait for a more favorable occasion. It is impossible to practice meekness if we are wrapped up in ourselves. We need to become broken and become open to God and to others. And this will make us willing to sacrifice ourselves for God and for others. The meek person refrains from the use of violence or force to get one's way. Instead, the meek person is able to adapt himself or herself to whatever circumstances in which one finds oneself. Meekness respects both the freedom of God and the freedom of other people, and does not try to force them to do one's will or even to do God's will. And of course, this is what we see in the meekness of God, and in a special way in the meekness of Jesus. The meek person is willing to make oneself the servant of all, the last of all, and finds joy and contentment in this without any loss of human dignity or respect. To practice meekness, we must overcome our fears, our insecurity, our inferiority complex. We must be able to feel secure within ourselves before we can meekly submit our will to the will and desires of others without destroying our inner dignity. We need, first of all, to know and experience our own value and worth, to have great self-control, self-discipline, especially that of anger. According to St. Thomas Aquinas, meekness is the virtue which controls the inordinate movements of anger. It is the virtue by which the passion of anger is curbed and brought under strict control of one's reason. Now, this does not mean that the meek person will never make use of the powers of anger. There is a righteous anger, just as Jesus showed it toward the buyers and sellers in the temple. But for the meek person, this anger will always be a righteous anger that will be used in the pursuit of the good of everyone involved, that it will be used for the advancement of the glory of God and never for the advancement of oneself. The meek person refuses to use violence to maintain one's own rights, refuses even to use force to right other wrongs except when it is absolutely necessary. Considered from this point of view, meekness is a very attractive and appealing virtue. Every one of us desires self-mastery and self-control. And when one's temper is brought under perfect control, then it becomes our servant in doing good rather than an instrument of evil. It becomes a power to bring about the will of God and not something that creates disorder, disharmony, quarreling, and hatred. It is not bad to have a very strong temper. Rather, it is a wonderful power for good, provided it can be kept completely under the control of our reason and subject absolutely to God's will in all things. The virtue of meekness does just this in our inclination to anger. Seeing how desirable it is to have this virtue of meekness, the question remains of how one is able to acquire it. I would say, first of all, pray for it. The expression that is sometimes used, "Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto yours," would be an example of a prayer for meekness. We must pray for the humility that's connected with meekness, because it is impossible to practice true meekness unless one is already humble. Secondly, if we wish to have this quality of meekness, we must wage a constant battle against our tendency to anger. We must try to control our temper and refuse to allow self to speak when angry, to learn to wait until we have brought our temper under control before making a decision. To be meek means to try constantly to be gentle and patient with others, even those who exasperate us, to try to speak calmly, slowly and quietly, regardless of the occasion, to try to return good for evil, to conquer evil by good. This is what our Lord meant by turning the other cheek. To be meek means to try to have compassion on even those who injure us or become angry with us, to feel sorry for the harm or injury that this may cause them, and to be unmindful of our own injury. It means to be ready to forgive others 70 times 7, as Jesus advises us, to pray for our persecutors, not to nurse grudges, to refuse to consider the question of revenge. The meek person knows how to wait patiently for divine providence to arrange the right time for everything. Therefore, meekness requires deep humility on our part, the willingness to become little, to suffer misunderstanding and opposition without hitting back, to respond to the violence of others with love on our part. It means patience and silence under opposition, misunderstanding, and persecution, but not necessarily always. There is a time to speak up. There is a time to respond in such situations. The meek person has the wisdom to know when to be silent and when to speak up, when to accept and when to react in a very positive way. The meek person knows how to be quiet and to wait. A meek person is willing to step aside for others and let others take the credit for what one has started, or for others to take over some project and make it their own, something that perhaps we have worked hard to initiate. The willingness to let go of everything that is near and dear to us and to respond with patience to the demands of others. It means the non-use of our power over others when we have an advantage over them. It means gentleness and kindness and love. Because of the gentleness and patience and responsiveness of Jesus to others, he was able to remove fear and timidity from those who came in contact with him. And so it is this disciplined love for others that enables us to sacrifice personal advantages. But always the question that is in the forefront of the mind of a meek person is the question, what will do the most good for the most people? What can I say? What can I do? What reaction should I have that will accomplish the greatest good? And of course, that greatest good begins with God's will. What is God's will? What is God's plan? What will foster the furtherance of the kingdom of God upon earth? These are the questions that engage the attention of the meek person. Naturally, there will be times when a meek person will make mistakes, when the meek person is silent when he or she should speak up, or speaks up when it would be better to remain silent. But as long as the principle is there, that we will try to do or say or not do or say whatever seems to do the greatest good for the most people. Basically, that's the principle that guides a meek person in everything that is done. Therefore, the meek person responds with one's whole being to the needs and desires and sufferings of others, is readily accessible to them, so that they do not hesitate to ask favors of a meek person, even when those favors require heroic efforts. People can recognize in the meek person this joy, even this gratefulness that the meek person feels for the opportunity to serve others. In that sense, the meek person, not always but very frequently, chooses the last place, the lowest place, doing all in our power to make others feel important and needed and worthwhile. According to the promise of Jesus in the Beatitudes, only the meek will possess the earth and will receive what God has promised. Why is this true? Meekness is the way most in accord with our real human nature. God created us to serve, to love, to give, to sacrifice ourselves for others. We certainly see this in the life of Jesus, as he says, "I have come on earth not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life for others." In a special way, we see Jesus giving an example of meekness at the Lord's Supper, when he took a basin of water and washed the feet of the disciples, including those of Judas. The meek person is the one who has the far-sightedness and the insight to be willing to sacrifice temporary present advantage for the sake of something better in the future. Only the meek are truly creative in building up the kingdom of God instead of tearing it down, of being positive rather than negative, constructive instead of destructive. Why is this true? Because only the meek have the vision and the insight to see far enough ahead to know for sure which direction leads to the kingdom of God. Without meekness and sensitivity to the voice of God within us and around us, we shall be frequently mistaken in our judgments as to which direction we should go to find the kingdom of God. Frequently, the path that leads to destruction looks as good or even better than the path that leads to the kingdom. Only the meek will be really successful in discovering, in choosing, and in following the right path to the kingdom. And therefore, only the meek will possess the earth, the new earth, the new creation, the kingdom of God. Only the meek will receive what God has promised. This is the end of the conference on meekness, the third beatitude.